in defiance of Babylon, at the edge of the west, between the steps of the seventh angel to come, Free Radio Santa Cruz presents the Church of the Biochar.
That's right, always use biochar. That's charcoal in your grows. You could just use a thin layer. We're going to talk about getting rid of bud rot. And we're going to do it in a way that you might be able to figure out how to do it too. Now, bud rot's botrytis. It's a fungus that attacks the buds in the last few weeks, right after you've done all that work. Can cause wine growers' lung. It's also on grapes. It's more of an allergic reaction. You cough and stuff. Alcohol can kill it, but you can't spray alcohol on your buds. So it's botrytis is caused by wet conditions and cold. So you want to have lots of air around your plants. Keep them dry. Also, you want to grow, say, small budded plants like the Haze variety. But that's good for a sativa. What about the indicas? They have huge buds. Well, there are some breeds that resist bud rot, like Blue Dream. So, if you look at, say, plants that grow in wetter areas like Santa Cruz, Humboldt, or Washington, or Canada, a lot of those breeds will be resistant to mold. And because they're in colder areas, they often tend to be purple. So they're kind of hard to find because everybody wants to buy the purple weed. The purple weed isn't really better than regular weed. It just looks different. So, and the plants, almost all plants, I think, will purple up if it gets cold enough. But some plants are purple at regular temperatures. So I was thinking, this can't be good news for the plant. You know, that's how they reproduce, through their buds. You know, it's like, you know, having your genitals rot away just before you go on a date. So they must have some kind of a scheme to deal with the rotting of their buds. And so I was thinking, well, there's that compound, and, and I believe it has cyanide in it. Part of the name. So if you're an artist or a chemist, you've probably figured out what this compound is, because the plant is producing it to stop bud rot. Now, another way to figure it out is to look at the other plants that have to fight bud rot. Is there anything in common between grapes and marijuana? I think you're going to figure this out. And where does the taste come from? It comes from the... Well, remember, they get purpler when it's colder. Bud rot appears when it's colder. So it's actually the purple pigment in the marijuana that's fighting the bud rot. It's called anthocyanin. So, I searched previously on botrytis and weed and found nothing like this, but I search on bat and botrytis, after Google corrects my spelling, I get, in the wine growers in Chile, there was an experiment, because they've got all these grape skins just sitting around with tons of anthocyanin in it, so they start spraying it on the grapes, and lo and behold, the ones that are high in anthocyanin do prevent bud rot. More articles, there's a chemical you can put on grapes to produce more anthocyanin. and also resveratrol. Now, I don't want to use that chemical, but yeah, it did produce less loss of the crop to bud rot. So you could, besides just spraying on this pigment, which is you can get as a blueberry extract at a health food store, drop it into your mister and spray on the buds, say in the morning when they're covered with dew anyways, shake off the dew and spray some of this on. It's already in the plant, so you can smoke it. It's not going to hurt the plant. The only negative might be if you spray too much on, it might cut off some of the light to the buds. It won't be as potent. And you can always dip your branches in a bucket of cold water before you, after you harvest, when you first harvest them, to get all the dirt off, and that would get this stuff off as well. It's a natural product. It's so obvious, too. Yeah, I looked this up. There was a High Times article on anthocyanin just last year. It had said nothing about using it to fight bud rot. So this is new to the marijuana community. Probably hear about it in a year or three if you hadn't heard about it here first. That's Free Radio Santa Cruz, Free Thy Land, bringing you future news before it happens. Now, I don't know how good this is going to work, but it's something you can do. I mean, when it starts raining and you're 20 days away from harvesting, you know, you really don't want to cut it down then. You can't really bring it inside because, yeah, you get the temperatures above 68 and bud rot won't grow. So this is something you can do. You spray some anthocyanin. I'm going to give research credit on this to the plants. They have telepathic abilities. This is a bio-church doctrine. They don't want to get the bud rot either. In other news, oh, also I should mention very, very acidic plants, like the really strong lemonines, will resist mold as well. It's a pH factor. And also this pigment, it's in some of the red and pink colors, magentas as well. It depends on the pH of the plant. So a grower once told me that he couldn't sell his Blue Dream anymore, so he put it, you know, I think in a bucket of ice. He dropped his pot in there, and it purpled up the plant. That'll be good to fight bud rot, but it also helped to sell it. And now, why couldn't he sell Blue Dream? Well, because there is anthocyanin in Blue Dream, as well as being small buds from the haze ingredient of the super silver haze. So people were able to grow it really easy, and there's no demand for something that's really easy to grow. So in the downside to me on the purple weeds is I tend to get a little blue. I get the blues from them. So sour lemony weeds have limonene in them, which is good for depression. I tend to get happy on the lemony weeds. And then it leads to the whole subject of mixing your weeds for best effects. You got to get some CBDs. You got to get some this, that, and the other thing. And the way they've been bred to the bag, where you just buy a bag and that's what you smoke. So you're getting these hybrids that are a little bit of indica, a little bit of sativa, just a very balanced blend in different ways. Because the plant is a medicine. It has a variety of effects depending on the terpenes and the complex interplay of the chemicals. So I like to smoke, I'm not going to admit to actually growing or using weed, although that is a part of the bio church religious view that growing weed for no money is a religious obligation. Along with that, though, there is an obligation not to cooperate with corrupt and unconstitutional government. So if I were to grow, I'm never going to get a permit first. I will only cooperate with an illegitimate government if they serve me personal process first on this matter. And then, because it is my religious view that I don't have to cooperate with the corrupt government, evidence of that government's corruption is now relevant to this case. And they did. I mean, the marijuana laws are a fraud from day one. They called it marijuana instead of cannabis to get it passed at the federal level because it would have never passed under the cannabis name. Everyone knew what cannabis was, and that's a strategic crop for the military, for rope. They made marijuana legal again during World War II. Secondly, Nixon targeted... He enhanced the drug laws to target the war resistors and the students, his political opponents. So it's the laws are not content neutral. They fall under strict scrutiny. And there's a, I therefore also believe there's a presumptive rebuttable bias that Reagan and any other Republicans' anti-drug policies are also not content neutral. But getting back to the Church of Biochar, I came across the first incident of an ad for a marijuana seed that recommended it for global warming. This seed is called Purple Paro Valley. That's P-A-R-O. It's by Mandala Seeds. It's a Himalayan marijuana. It's only like 8.5 to 11% THC, so you're probably not going to want to grow it until the apocalypse. It'd be better probably for breeding with, say, a lamb's bred or some large tropical, because it is going to be hot, but there will be these cold snaps. And the Purple Paro Valley has these thin branches, but they don't break. It's very wiry, so it can withstand strong winds. And there's going to be strong winds in global warming. I mean, the seventh angel apocalypse. So, yeah, breeding those two together, one of those, what is it, the F2, where you get all kinds of variation. It's not very stabilized. Well, that's actually preferred in this situation because you want to let it grow wild and land race to something that will adapt to the changing conditions of global warming, and so that we can still get high and have rope and stuff. That's from Mandala Seeds. Blessings upon them. Okay, I guess that's all I have on that topic. I'd like to get this to at least 15 minutes, so, you know, quarters up nicely. I guess mixing weeds, again, you want a little of this, a little of that. When you do mix weeds with these hybrids, say you mix like a Gorilla Glue with a OG Kush. Now, there's ChemDog in both of those. So what's going to happen is all the other strain effects are going to be lessened, and the ChemDog effect is going to be enhanced. So I know there's Afghani in Kosher Kush, although that's a legendary breed, because when I smoke the LSD breed with it, which is the Skunk Mazer, that's an Afghani hash, the Mazer breed. They're enhanced, and the ChemDog effect is lessened. They're basically, there's not, I mean, there's thousands of weeds, but I don't believe there's that many effects. They're basically mixtures of landrace, or when somebody does something similar to a landrace and breeds to a specific type of trait, then that will carry on into the breeds better. It's basically like, say it's like this recorder I'm looking at with the spikes. You know, say a Thai weed will have a large spike in the speedy THC area, whereas a, you know, a Hindu Kush will have a spike way down in the sedative area. And then when you mix a whole bunch of them together, you get more of a flat range, which sometimes is what you want and sometimes not. That's why I these hybrids are not quite so good for mixing. Say if I want to go, I want to get a speedier Gorilla Glue, I guess I got to go to a train wreck or something. Sometimes they just don't mix well because of the other weeds involved. You want like a pure sativa and a pure indica for mixing to get various levels of up or down. This has been the Church of Biochar.